Peter's daughter, if you all didn't know that. Amen. People used to ask me, this is a neat story, because people used to ask me, you know, when did you get saved? And I tell them, well, I got saved in my mother's womb, because my mom started going to church when she was pregnant with me, and she's been going ever since. So that means that mom has been walking with the Lord a lot longer than a lot of us. If I tell you how long, then you'll know how old I am, which is okay, right? I mean, I'm proud of that. I'll tell you a little bit about, we've been going to this church for over 50 years. So I was baptized right here in this church when I was 18 years old. So all of us, my sister over there, we've all been going to this church. A couple sisters got married here. So it's home. And it feels good to be home. It feels good to be back here. And I really enjoyed getting to know everybody all over again. Okay, so we're going to talk about solitude. When Pastor asked me to do this, I told him, well, you know what? This has actually been something that I've been practicing for a long time. When I first got saved, God started teaching me about solitude. I started walking. I would walk every day all over Manteca. Wherever we lived, whatever house we lived in, I would walk that territory. And I would pray and listen to worship music and listen to God. Sometimes I'd scream and yell and stomp my feet and act like a big baby. But most of the time, every time, God would always meet me there. And he would speak to me and he would minister to me. He would speak to me in symbols, maybe, or something, you know, something. He would talk to me, and it was really encouraging, and it really helped me a lot. I did that for over 30 years, walked this whole area. I'll tell you a story. There's one area we used to live in, and it was kind of like the ghetto of Manteca. And I would walk that area. Well, the houses around weren't, you know, really kept up, and they were kind of run down, didn't seem to have any paint on their houses, you know. So I thought, you know, I'm going to start praying for these people. So I started praying for the people. I prayed for, you know, other things also, not just for that. I would pray for salvation, and I would pray for families and marriages of that area. Well, I never really got, you know, God never told me what happened, you know, about that. But I went back to that neighborhood a few years later, and the houses were actually, they looked better. People were taking care of their yards, and they were taking care of their homes. And so God reminded me that I had prayed that neighborhood, and that's what I had prayed for. And so it was awesome to know that he does answer prayer. So he was just reassuring me that what I was doing wasn't in vain. Because a lot of times when we pray and all that, we think it's in vain. We think, oh, well, you know, am I really doing is it really making a difference? And prayer makes a difference, right, Mom? And my mom would tell you that. Prayer makes a difference. She's been praying for all of us for how long, you know? So it does make a difference. So let me tell you, let me see, where am I? Let's go down here. These walks would help me get through some difficult times, some very difficult times. One of the most difficult times is when 3 years ago, and I hope I don't cry, but my husband was killed. He fell off a scaffold. My son was with him, and he's back there, but he didn't want me to point him out. he fell off the scaffold with my husband, and he died. My son died. I mean, my husband died. So this was very tragic for us. Jacob and I were left alone, and it was very scary. And it was Jacob. He wrote this little note for me, and I pinned it up on the bulletin board in our house. And it said, "We're gonna make it." And we've made it. You know, 3 years later, we've made it. You know, I can honestly say I have a good job. He has a good job. I feel like I shut the door to that past. I shut the door, and it feels good to be able to do that. I was listening to a song the other day, Danny Gookie. Is that how you pronounce his name? It's Tell Your Heart to Beat Again. Through the time when you're going through a hard time like that, you can hardly breathe. And I'd have to tell myself, breathe, take a deep breath. And Danny, he lost his wife too. He was on American Idol, if you guys don't know. But his wife died. And so he wrote this song, Tell Your Heart to Beat Again. And that song spoke to me way back then, and it spoke to me today too. Let me see if I want to get ahead of myself here. In the song it says, say goodbye to where you've been. Tell your heart to beat again. Yesterday's a closing door. You don't have to live there no more. And I felt like God was speaking to me that that door was closed, that I can move forward now. He spoke to me many times about moving forward and letting go, and you're not a victim anymore, and stuff like that. And when he speaks to you, listen so that you can move forward. Don't ignore his wisdom. Don't ignore what he's trying to tell you, because it's important stuff. And that's what solitude is all about. And I want to read. In 1 Kings, you want to put 1 Kings up there. And of course, this is a story of Elijah. And Elijah went through a solitude time. Also, right after he had he had just got finished ministering, and building altars and praying for rain to come over the land. And that was chapter 18. So this is after he had done all the ministering. He was worn out and he was tired. So I just want to read this. He says, now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. And now he had killed all the prophets of Baal with the sword. And that was like 450 prophets. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so may the gods do to me and even more, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like the life of one of them. And Elijah was afraid and arose and ran for his life. He came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judea, and he left his servants there. But he himself traveled a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and sat down under a juniper tree and asked God that he might die. He said, it is enough now. So he had enough. He said, it is enough, O Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's. He lay down and slept under the juniper tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. He looked, and by his head there was a bread cake baked on the hot coals and a pitcher of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too long for you without adequate substance. So he got up and ate and drank, and with the strength of that food, he traveled 40 days and nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. So he went to his solitude place. He was tired. He was exhausted. He was ready to be refilled and refreshed, and he needed to rest, So he goes into the desert to do that. Elijah ran because he was afraid for his life, but he was also exhausted. It wasn't just fear, because for one thing, if he had fear for his life, then why did he say he wanted to die, So a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was exhausted and tired, and he needed to be refreshed. And a lot of us need to be refreshed. And that's what I want to share with you today, is how that refreshing can help you through the day. It can help you get past whatever tragedy or whatever thing you're going through today. He felt persecuted also. I felt persecuted before. After my husband passed away, we lost our church. And I felt very, very much persecuted. And so I wanted to run. And I did run. And it didn't mean that I was running from God. It meant that I was running because I couldn't handle the situation I was in at that time because of my emotions and because of what I had gone through. You know, when you've gone through a hard time, you're beat up and you just need refreshing. You just need to feel the presence of God to build yourself back up. And that's what I've done over these past 3 years, is ran to God and ask God for help. Ask God for the strength and the courage and the endurance to make it through this time. I'm still not done. I'm still not over the hill or over the mountain or whatever you could call it. But I am in a place where I can be happy again. I can smile again. You know, for so long, it was really hard to be happy in situations like that. So he slept under a broom tree. A juniper tree is like this tree that goes straight up. That's what I always thought it was. But a broom tree has big, has a nice shady area. So I'm going to say it's a broom tree, okay? So God met him there, okay? Did he say, oh, well, he ran away, so I don't want to have nothing to do with him? He did not do that. He went with him into his wilderness time. So he's going to go with you into your wilderness time, into your solitude time. He's not going to say, oh, well, you know what, I'll catch up with you later, you know. He's not going to say that. He's not on vacation. He's, you know, he's going to meet you there. He is going to be there with you. I promise you. And God promises you that. The Word of God promises you that he is going to be there with you in your time of solitude. So he sits underneath this broom tree, right? Okay, he's sleeping, and God bakes him a cake, okay? Now, when I think of a cake, I think of a chocolate cake with chocolate icing, right? Well, I'm sure that that didn't happen, but God loves you so much that he will do that for you. He gave him a bottle of water. Some of the translation says a bottle of water. Okay, we carry around bottles of water, right? So it was just really, really neat to be able to know that God will feed you in your time of solitude. He will bring provision in your time of solitude. I didn't think that we were going to make it. You know, I didn't think the provision was going to come, but it did, and he came, and he brought it for us. So you just go to your solitude place and wait for your big piece of chocolate cake, right? And your bottled water, and just sit in God's presence. I'm sure he wouldn't mind if you brought a piece to do that in. So God is very patient with us in our times of weakness when we're ready to move on. He's not going to kick us in the butt and say, now get up, get moving. You're wallowing in your self-pity. You're grieving too long. It's okay. Everybody grieves in different ways, and everybody grieves in their own timing. And so I couldn't listen to people just tell me to get over it. Just get over it and move on. Well, that's not going to happen. You got to wait and let God move you on. And that's what I feel like he's doing. It is very difficult to me to move on, but in my solitude times, God would lick my wounds, encourage me to get up. God will use scripture to encourage you and lift you up, and like he used a song, or he'll use kind of symbols in that sort. One of my favorite scriptures, and it's not up there, I didn't give it to you so you don't have this one, but it's John 10:10. Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus brings life in abundance. So Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. He wants us to quit. He wants us to give up. He wants us to run. He wants us to run to the world and not to him. And but Jesus brings us an abundant life. And it's a life here on earth. It's not when we go to heaven, it's here on earth, abundant life. So don't be waiting for it. Like lots of people say, I can't wait to go to heaven to get my abundant life. Well, it's happening. It's supposed to happen right here. Okay, let's go ahead and bring up 1 Peter 5:9. Okay. But resist him. So this is Satan. Resist Satan. Be firm in your faith against his attacks, rooted, established, immovable, knowing that some experience of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. That was a very, very comforting scripture for me. Even though I lost my church and I didn't really have a body of Christ to love on, I went out into, well, and some of you guys know that I started a church for the homeless. And for 2 years, I did that. And so every Wednesday, and there's a few of you here that used to come out, every Wednesday we'd feed the homeless, and we'd feed them a hot meal. And then I would, I'd preach, do a little bit of preaching, and then I would feed them a hot meal, and we would give them all kinds of stuff like toiletries, and we called them blessing bags. And we did all this kinds of stuff, and it was really, it was, for me, it was, I was getting out of my grief. I was helping somebody else. So it was a really awesome thing that we did there, and I really enjoyed that. But we're not doing that right now, but I have a feeling that God's going to open that door again. So resist Satan, and he will flee, right? The wilderness times are times of reflection. You get into a time of reflection with him, and he will speak to you. He will give you wisdom. He'll give you, you just look. I go out into Hogan's Reservoir. It's up there by Valley Springs. That's where I work. And so it's an awesome place to go. It's like there's a reservoir there, and I just sit on this rock, right? And I just sit there, and sometimes you don't go with anything on your mind. You just sit there and just wait for God to meet you. And that's what I do. I can't walk anymore because of my feet got all that arthritis and plantar fasciitis and all that. But so I just go and I sit. I sit on a rock and stare out into the lake and reflect how beautiful God's creation is and how peaceful his presence. Sitting there just waiting for God. And I asked him, you know, okay, God, speak to me today. Meet me here. And, you know, I'm sitting on this rock, right? And this big old horsefly comes swarming around, you know, around me, you know, trying to distract me. And there will be lots of distractions when you're in your solitude place. But you have to, you know, I just say, get out of here, you stupid fly. I resist you, Satan. You can call him Satan if you want to. And, another thing kind of goes, you hear people talking over here, and that's a little distraction, but you got to learn not to listen to it. You got to learn to push it away. This guy comes in his big old four-wheel drive truck, you know, and he pulls over there, and he's sitting in it, and he's letting the engine run, you know, for like a half an hour. I'm thinking, what the heck? So these are all distractions that are trying to keep me from meeting God. So if you just keep pressing in, eventually those things aren't even going to bother you anymore. Eventually you're just going to go, psh, that's just Satan trying to distract me, right? So we resist him, and we can move forward. Okay. So one time I was there, and every time, actually, I just sit there. The Holy Spirit comes on you, just blows. You know, the Holy Spirit's in the wind, you know. So the Holy Spirit just blows on you, and you feel good, you feel refreshed. And when I leave, I always feel different. I always feel like, hey, I got something. I'm not sure what it is yet. I'm sure I'll find out. I came to church on Sunday after one of the times here, and I was in worship, and I felt like angels all around me. It was really neat. And so, you know, I'm not saying you're going to feel the same thing or you're going to get all that kind of good stuff. You're going to get good stuff. It's just going to be different good stuff that speaks to you. Does that sound good, guys? I hope y'all, after I'm done, I hope y'all want to do this because it's awesome and it gets you through whatever you're going through. And I know y'all are going through stuff too. Okay, so I suggest that you find a place where you can be alone with God. My favorite actually is the beach, but you know, got to get in a car and drive over there. A mountain, forest, lake, wilderness, a room if that's all you can do. If you can't get out of your house and there's only one place, you can find a room, make it your sanctuary. Car, you go for a ride. Or like what I do is I go for walks. If you have trouble being alone, you might have trouble being in solitude. But you got to keep telling yourself, I'm not alone. And you got to not be worried about, you know, the fact that you're talking out loud to somebody that's not really there. Don't pay attention to that. Just do what you have to do. Just start talking and God will speak back to you. Maybe not in an audible voice, but he'll speak back to you. One day it was, I was sitting there, and well, this was just over the weekend, and there was butterflies flying all around. So he spoke to me through the butterflies, and he says, "He's butterflies represent life and resurrection. And it's endurance. It means that endurance is coming, change is coming, and hope in life. So those are things that I can be encouraged by. God's not going to give you a discouragement. He's going to encourage you. So whatever encourages you is from God. What discourages you is not from God. Okay? So if you say, well, I don't know if this is God. God's telling me, you know, I'm beautiful. I don't know if that's from God. Well, yeah, it is. You know, Satan wouldn't tell you you're beautiful, but God would, right? Does that make sense? Okay. Where am I? Okay. So we need to deliberately create a place to be alone with God, and he will join us. So go ahead and put up the points up there. And I'll go over these points. There are 8 points. You're not going to be here all day, I promise, okay? Okay, so the first one is cast all your troubles on God. Unclutter your mind. And that one takes pretty long at the beginning, so we always put it on the first, because it takes a little while to unclutter your mind because, you know, we're people, right? We got a lot of stuff on our minds. And so we have to pull all that stuff down and set it aside and say, okay, because it's not going anywhere. Okay, so you can always pick it up if you want to when you go home, that's fine. But right now, it's just you and God. Does that make sense? Okay, number two. We need times of solitude where God can meet us alone. And I've been kind of like sharing that already, that we need these times because, you know, it's just getting worse. Satan has come in a vengeance. And so we need time to spend with God. Even if it's just 15 minutes, an hour, a day, you know, a week, eventually, you work your way up to that kind of stuff. But yeah, try to do that. Number three, be open to hear his voice, because it's really a still, small voice, right? It's very small, and it's very still, and it's quiet. It's not in your face like Satan is, right? So if it's in your face, then you know that's not God. But if it's gentle and quiet and he uses the word of God a lot. He uses to speak to me. He uses the word of God a lot. And that's really encouraging because you know that you know that you know it's God. Amen? Okay, so number four. Make this time just about solitude and no agenda. So you don't, you know, like go there for a certain reason. Well, sometimes you do. Sometimes you go there to make some kind of decision. Maybe it's a big decision, and I'm going to read you that scripture right now. Wait a minute. Okay. So Luke 4, 1 through 2. Can you put that up? Okay. So now Jesus, full of and in perfect communication with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they ended, he was hungry. So he went into the wilderness, and God met him there. And this was right before he started his ministry. So he went into the wilderness to be strengthened by God so that he could start his new ministry. So that was his provision and his protection when he was with God. Now, we don't know exactly what God said it told him in those times. He doesn't always share that kind of stuff. But when we're in his presence, he will share with you personally on a one-to-one basis. All right? Okay, now back to the... hope I'm not messing you guys up all up there. Number four. Okay, make this time just about... Oh, I already read that one. Number five. These are times of just you and God interacting. And I kind of like already been talking to you kind of about that. Number six, before making important decisions. So let me show you that one. Luke 6:12. Now at this time, Jesus went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. So when he came down from that, verse 13, and I don't think I gave you guys that one, but verse 13 is, this is when he selected the 12 disciples. So he went up there and he goes, okay, God, who do you want me to pick for my 12 disciples? Right? He needed God's help for that kind of stuff. So a lot of times we need God's help. You know, we probably should ask him more for help than we do, but in that, he needed God to give him direction, and he needed God to tell him what to do. Are you guys tracking with me? Am I keeping you awake? That's what I want to do. Okay, so now number seven. It's a vacation with God. So if you look at it like that, it's a vacation with God. It's not, oh, I hate this. This sucks, you know. I wish I could go home, and, you know. You got to think of it as a time where you can spend just you and God, just sit there. You know, a lot of us have trouble sitting and turning it all off and relaxing. But eventually you'll get better at it as you do it. The more practice. Practice makes better, right? Okay, number eight. So this is where we find our true being. This is where we find out who we really are. And this, I know it's helped me a lot to find out through all my difficulties, God has shown me who I am. I mean, 3 years ago, I was a total different person. And God has done some amazing stuff on me. I've changed a lot, I've matured a lot, and I feel like I've grown a lot. I'm not anything like I was 3 years ago. If you take time to see that, you would notice that, right? My sister's going. So, did I run out of time yet? No? Because I was almost done. I did pretty well. Cool. Let me see if there's anything else I forgot. I'll run through my notes real quick like this. I think we're all good. So, just to cap it all off, like Jesse would say, I just want to encourage you to really try to do this. Seriously, people. This will really help you, and you will grow, and you will be refreshed. You will feel, but there is one thing I wanted to say, where to go. Okay, I know, okay. Once you've done this, you will find life rush back into your soul. Much richer and fuller than ever before. You will feel refreshed in your soul. and that's deep down in there where we hide all of our stuff. And God will bring it all up and heal you, heal your soul. And that's the plan, right? We all want a healed soul. So you all going to try this? Yeah? Good. Praise God. All right, I'm going to say a prayer for you all, and then we're going to do some more worship. Oh, by the way, so don't forget, next week they're going to Caswell, and they're going to do this. So if you haven't signed up yet, do that. And then they'll show you how to do, you know, you'll be in a group, and it would be kind of cool to be going with somebody, you know, all alone. So you can start new with somebody else, right? So if you haven't signed up for that, go ahead and try to do that. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here. Your Holy Spirit is in this place, and we thank you, Lord, for that. And we thank you for the word, and we pray that it penetrates into their hearts and souls, that they remember what you've spoken to them today. Remind us to continue to find moments of solitude in the middle of our lives, and to have the courage to take time out when our soul needs refreshing. In Jesus' name, amen.